What's up, my friends? It's Rick Mulready here. Listen, if you are feeling like you're struggling to keep up with all the AI opportunities, or maybe you're wondering how to even start leveraging AI in your business without all the headaches, the AIify newsletter is designed with you in mind, my friend. Every week, I simplify AI for you, showing you how to apply it and integrate it into your business so that you can work less and profit more. As one of my readers put it, it's a must-have for any entrepreneur who wants to get more done in less time. And they said there's a lot of noise out there and your information is up to date, yet just feels more calm and more relatable. So I want to invite you to sign up for the AIify newsletter. It's free. Just go to rickmulready.com/newsletter. That's rickmulready.com/newsletter. Welcome to the Art of Online Business podcast. My name is Rick Mulready, and I'm an online business coach, Facebook and Instagram ads expert, lifestyle entrepreneur, and I'm a total coffee snob as well. Each week, you're going to learn actionable strategies, mindsets, and tips that take the guesswork out of growing and scaling a profitable online business so that you can truly become an entrepreneur with impact. This podcast is your secret weapon for fast-tracking the growth of your online business. Let's do this. You hear me talk about this all the time here on the show, and that is you've got to know your numbers when it comes to your business. Now, oftentimes I'm talking about numbers in your sales funnels, numbers in leads, numbers in sales, etc. What we're going to be talking about here today is numbers in your business. More specifically, we're going to be talking about the critical four financial metrics of your business. Things like revenue, gross profit, net profit, cash. And joining me to talk about all this is Michael King, who's a business money coach, and he also runs an outsourced CFO firm. He's got coaching programs, etc., for us online course creators, online entrepreneurs, et cetera. He's also a member of my accelerator program. And so he brings the financial education to those of us in accelerator. And so I invited him on the show today because this is a topic that doesn't really get covered a whole lot, unfortunately. And it is critical. Like I mentioned earlier, you got to know your numbers, right? And especially when it comes to the financial metrics of your business. Now, you're going to hear me ask a lot of questions today because, unfortunately, this has just been a learning process for me. For the first 6 years of my business, I didn't know a lot of this stuff, and I'm embarrassed to say that. But then I hired Emily, who's my current bookkeeper. I've had her on the show here before, and that changed everything, looking, you know, forecasting and stuff like that. So we're going to get into all of that here with Michael. And, you know, things like cash flow forecasting, what it is, what does that mean, how to do it, you know, what questions does that answer for you when you're able to do cash flow forecasting, what to look for in a good bookkeeper, the first place to start when it comes to your financial numbers, what your gross profit margin should be, and what your net profit margin should be, and also the difference between the two. So everybody always asks, like, what's a good profit margin? Well, you're going to hear the answer to that question here today with this interview here with Michael. And then also, how to make financial-based decisions in your business, whether it's buying a new tool, software, hiring somebody, etc. So if you're a course creator or an online coach and understanding your financial numbers is something that you want to be better at as a goal for you, ding, 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 by the way, this absolutely should be, then this episode is for you. And before we get into it with Michael, if you are an online course creator or you're an online coach, you're already generating at least $7,000 to $8,000 per month in revenue from your online business, and you're really looking to scale. You're really looking to optimize and grow your business towards multiple six or even seven figures. And you're kind of spinning your wheels now. Maybe you're overwhelmed. You're doing all the things in your business and you're not really sure what next steps to take. Then I want to invite you to apply for my accelerator coaching program. This is a one-on-one group coaching and mastermind type program all wrapped into one. And as I mentioned, Michael is a current member of Accelerator, and I'd love to review your application for the program as well. Just go to rickmulready.com/accelerator. All right, my friend, without further ado, let's go hang out with Michael King. Michael King, welcome to the podcast. How you doing, man?
Rick, I'm absolutely amazing. Thanks for asking. How are you?
I'm doing great. I see the truck honking their horn stopped. That was going on for a little while outside your house.
There's never a dull moment out here. We live close to downtown Dallas in kind of this little teeny pocket. And, You know, most of the time it's quiet, but every so often you get craziness.
Behind you right now, because we're on Zoom, behind you, I see cash flows, budgets and projections, health and performance. I see whiteboard, all kinds of stuff. Like, I love what you've got going on back there. And we're going to be talking all about that here today on the show. But before we dive into everything, let's have you introduce yourself. Let people know who Michael King is and what you do and how you got to where you are right now.
Absolutely. So my name is Michael King. I am the CEO of KFE Solutions. We're an outsourced CFO firm, but we also offer some executive level financial coaching, as well as a course for early stage entrepreneurs. And you know what we're all about is, whatever stage you're at in business, we want to help you understand your numbers so that you can make better decisions. You know, real cut and dry. That's what we're all about. A lot of people say, "Well, how did you get into this?" So it's an interesting story. I actually spent the first 11 years of my career as a nuclear engineer in the Navy. You know, sitting on submarines.
I don't think I knew that.
No. Yeah. So I sat on submarines for 11 years and decided that that life wasn't for me anymore. And so I transitioned out of the military and got a job as an engineer at a plywood mill, a very large plywood mill that was doing, you know, very high eight figures. And through a random chain of events, Rick, I found myself in charge of the facility about 18 months after having left the Navy. And in that role, I had P&L accountability. And you know, the number one problem I had with that is I didn't know what the heck P&L stood for, just how to be accountable for it. And every couple of weeks, I'd get these financial reports, you know, P&Ls and balance sheets and all these different things. And I didn't know what to make of any of it. And when I would go talk to the accountants that work for me, it's, you know, ladies, what do I do with this? I realized that they really struggled to explain to me what to do with those reports in kind of a tactical way. And what I would ask them is, how do I come in to work tomorrow and make smarter decisions about how I run this place based on these reports? How do I just be a better business leader? Mm-hmm. And they couldn't tell me that. And they said, you know, bless your little heart, that's your job, not ours. And I said, okay, figure it out. It is my job, that touche. And, you know, I tried to do the YouTube and Google, but you're not going to learn, you know, for a business that large, you know, on YouTube, how to manage the finances. And so I said, I'm going to go get an MBA, Rick. I'm going to learn all the things. And I sat down in my first finance and accounting class in grad school, and it was more of the same stuff, accounting terms, explaining other accounting terms. And gosh, I still didn't know where to begin. And you know, I came to learn over time, Rick, 60% of small businesses fail in the first 5 years. You know, 80% fail in 10 years. And when you dive in, 83% of those businesses that fail are failing because of poor cash flow management. 83%. And I said, all right, on one hand, the bookkeepers, accountants, and CPAs of the world, the ones that know how to avoid these mistakes, they just, most of them have a hard time communicating with entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
And I said, I'm going to bridge that gap. And so a little over 5 years ago now, I started KFE with that mission of bridging the communications gap, like I said earlier, so that business owners can make smarter decisions.
I thought you were going to tell me after that first class, when you started your MBA, that you were done. You're like, all right, this is not for me. I'm going to go do my own thing and just pave this path. But that's not where you went.
And no. Like, and in fact, it became a challenge to me, right?
Yeah.
I have a degree in nuclear engineering, which is, it is challenging. But the only reason I made it through either program is because I have this knack of taking complex things and I come up with metaphors in my mind to make them simpler for me to understand. And that's the only reason I have any academic credentials behind me, is because I'm like, I'm a slow guy. I'm from, you know, Southern Alabama, you know, kind of thing. And so I've got to make things simple. And I said, I'm going to figure out how to make these accounting topics simple. And once I figured that out, I said, I can teach these to other people.
Yeah.
I think there's a thing here. So
give me an example of like what a metaphor would be for like the P&L, like a P&L statement.
So oh gosh, a metaphor for the P&L.
So putting you on the spot.
No, it's okay. So, you know, you look at it, and this isn't going to be a metaphor, but let me give you a quick example of it here. You look at a P&L, and I mean, there's probably hundreds of numbers on there, right? Mm-hmm. On a basic P&L, there can be hundreds of numbers. You get into a more advanced company, there's thousands. And so as entrepreneurs, we're like, where the heck do we even start with this thing?
Yeah.
And so I said, all right, well, what are the real important numbers that as a business owner, as a decision maker, what are the ones I have to understand? Well, on the P&L, it turns out there's only three. Out of all of those, there's really only three. Mm-hmm. Revenue, gross profit, and net profit. Okay. And there's a fourth one I call the critical four financial metrics. There's a fourth one, cash. It doesn't live on the P&L. But I'm like, okay, if I can just understand how every decision in my business impacts revenue, how it impacts gross profit, and how it impacts net profit and also cash, that's like 95% of the hard work, right? If you understand how decisions impact those four numbers, then you can make better decisions. And so it's not a metaphor necessarily, but it's like in the simplest form, that's really all a P&L and a balance sheet are, right? Now there's more to it that's, you know, there's important things beyond that, but those are important for your accountant, CPA, and tax preparer to worry about, not for you.
Yeah.
So it's just, you know, that simplification process.
So you bring up these four numbers and I wrote down, I took a note there, difference between gross profit margin and net profit margin. So I want to get to that.
Okay.
Now, if someone is, they're making money in their business and maybe they have a bookkeeper, or a bookkeeping company. I see this a lot where the bookkeeping company is, you know, keeping track of the numbers, categorizing stuff, and then sort of like handing it over to them. The entrepreneur doesn't really know, like to your point, Michael, like they don't really know what to do with it. So how does one get started with gathering these numbers, number one, and then let's dive into these four metrics, if you will, four numbers that most people really aren't looking at, or they don't understand what they are and actually how to take action from them.
Yeah. Let me start by saying this. I love bookkeepers and accountants and CPAs. They're super, super important. And one of the most common questions I get asked, though, is how do I find a good one?
Yeah.
Right. Because as business owners, a lot of times you could have a really great bookkeeper or a horrible one and you would have no idea because, you know, you don't know what you're looking at. Right. But this is the place to start with bookkeepers. Find somebody that has the heart of a teacher. All the next things I'm going to talk about, right? If your bookkeeper has the heart of a teacher, most of the rest of these things will take care of themselves. Okay. But if you're working with it, whether it's a firm or an individual, an agency, and they get frustrated with your questions or they make you feel kind of dumb or they're talking over your head, the rest of the stuff isn't going to work.
Yeah.
So the number one thing that I tell people to look for in a financial professional is just find somebody that's got the heart of a teacher, someone that's going to be patient with you and answer all your dumb questions and make you feel empowered. Okay. So that's kind of like pre-step number one on what to do. So where do you go from there? Revenue. And let me make sure I grab your question here because I got on a little bit of a tangent. Could you ask it again? Sorry.
Yeah, no, totally. I mean, it's like, all right. So now that let's just say we have a bookkeeper, they do have the heart of a teacher. Now, bookkeepers do different things, right? So like there are some bookkeepers who will answer your questions, give you the information, and then now it's on you to make sense of the numbers and then again, make decisions on that. So let's just say that somebody's in that position. Like they do have the numbers, like the bookkeeper is keeping track of and categorizing things, answering their questions, but not giving necessarily like strategic help based on the numbers. So where does one start? Like, all right, I got my P&L. Now what?
So the first place that I always like to tell people to start is actually not with your P&L.
Okay.
The first place you want to start is real simple. Look at your cash. How much cash did you have at the end of last month compared to the month before and so on, right? And then what you want to do is start figuring out how much cash are you going to need in the future, right? We call those cash flow forecasts. The most important thing is it doesn't matter what your P&L says. You can be the most profitable business in the world, but if you've got no cash to pay your bills, then you're out of luck. So I always like to tell people, if you're going to start, start thinking about your future cash needs. And this sounds like when people sit down and start doing it, they're like, oh my gosh, where do I even begin with figuring out how much cash I need in the future? And it's actually not that difficult, Rick.
Okay.
So let's pretend that you've got $10 in your pocket right now, and you're trying to figure out if you can afford a Starbucks latte. Okay. And so you say, all right, I have $10 in my pocket. Do I have any more money coming into my pocket today? I'm going to go look under the seat cushions and all those kind of things. Nope, no more money coming in today. Well, what money's going out today other than this latte? Well, in order to get the latte, I got to put $7 worth of gas in my car, right? Or whatever, I've got to buy some food or whatever it is. And so you think about those required expenses that are going to come out. And then you look to see what you're left with and you say, okay, well, I'm going to be left with $4. So can I afford that $7 latte? Probably not. Mm. Well, you just did a cash flow forecast.
Right.
And it worked. The same exact concept works for your business. How much money do you have at the beginning of the month? What are your projected monies coming in? Not what you're going to invoice, but how much cash is going to be hitting your bank? What expenses do you know to be coming out? And you subtract those numbers out, and that leaves you with your cash at the end of the month. And then you repeat that for the next 2 or 3 months, and all of a sudden you have a cash flow forecast. That's where I recommend people start, is looking at least 6 weeks into the future with their cash. That's thing one. You get your books in order. And we feel confident the books are. Thing two is start looking about 6 weeks into the future on your cash needs. Okay. From there, I like to go to the P&L. And there's those three metrics that I told you about earlier on the P&L: revenue, gross profit, and net profit. And this is what I recommend people do. Take a look at the last 13 complete months. So if you're, in the month of May, for example, the last complete month was April. I would look at April of last year through April of this year for revenue, gross profit, and net profit. And I would start to look for trends. Is revenue going up or is revenue going down? Is there a particular time of year that revenue goes up or down? Same thing with gross profit and net profit. And see if you can start to figure out why that is. What happened in each of those months that's driving those financial metrics, and see if you can figure out why. Now, this is where the heart of a teacher thing comes in. You're probably, as you just get started with this, are not going to be able to answer those questions on your own. That's when I want you to go back to your bookkeeper and say, hey, I noticed that in October and November, revenues went way up, but my net profit was down.
Yeah.
What happened? And have them start explaining those things to you. So that as you start making future looking decisions in your business, you know what's happened in the past, and you can make smarter decisions on what you're going to be doing in the future. You know, a great example of that, why would revenues go up but net profit go down? Well, maybe your ad spend was way too high and you didn't get a good return on ad spend. Revenues, they went up, but your ad spend went up faster than revenues.
Yeah.
And that causes your profit to go down. Another one, Rick, that bites a lot of earlier stage entrepreneurs, we like to grow our teams. We get to that point that we need help and we start growing our virtual assistants and our ads managers and all these people. And we've got a lot of excess spend now, and we haven't had revenues catch up yet, or the revenues aren't catching up at the same rate. But those are the kinds of questions that as an entrepreneur, you need to know the answers to so that you know what to do differently in your business next month.
I have so many questions that came out of that. All right. I want to come back to the hiring part, because that's a question that everybody has. And I had early on in the business as well. Now, and this is legit. This is actually a selfish question. So we talk about cash flow and cash forecasting. How does that differ from the profit? Like, you're talking about, start with this first and then move over to the P&L, look at these numbers and metrics. How is it different?
That's a great question. And it's, if you're a super early stage entrepreneur, often there's not a huge difference. You're going to look and there's going to be a lot of similarities. But there's some key things in your business that you spend cash on that don't show up on the profit and loss statement. And number one among those is the money you pay yourself. So when you're just an LLC or a sole proprietor, the money that you pay yourself is normally done through like a distribution. Yep. And distributions don't show up on the profit and loss statement. And so you could show that you had, let's say, $2,000 of net profit last month. But if you paid yourself $3,000, maybe, well, there's a difference there.
And, oh, I got
that you. Can cause some problems. Another example that's commonly overlooked is money that you pay towards debt. So like if you have a business credit card and you pay down your business credit card, you won't see that debt, that payment on your P&L, but it is a cash expense. And so, you know, there's some of those non-operating expense things that, that cash has to go towards. That's the difference. And so it's really important. It's a small point, but a really important one to differentiate between cash and net profit.
I gotcha. That makes a lot of sense. See, you do simplify it down. Take this concept and just break it right down. And I'll be honest, like as far as the forecasting goes, to be completely transparent, like I didn't do any of that until literally about a year and a half ago in the business. Like 6 years into the business, I wasn't doing that at all. It was just kind of like, yeah, let's go. Right. And then like that, just doing this, guys, if you know, as you're listening here and what Michael's sharing, this stuff right here is like changes everything. When you start, like, you know, Michael said, like at least 6 weeks out, when you can kind of make some estimates and forecasts about the revenue that you're expecting to be hitting your bank, it's not like a, you know, okay, this is a 12 pay and you're counting 7 months ahead. This is really, really important here of what you're talking about.
Let me jump in real quick, if please, I could, and explain why it's so important. Okay. As entrepreneurs, when we don't have the kinds of insights that this simple tool provides, we get into one of two situations normally when we're looking to grow. Okay. We say, all right, I've been listening to Rick preach the importance of having a virtual assistant. I'm ready to hire a virtual assistant, or I'm ready to start ads, or I'm ready to hire an ads manager. Boy, can I afford that person? And we start to get these feelings of stress and anxiety and uncertainty and imposter syndrome. All these feelings start creeping in, and we will typically do one of two things, Rick. We'll either cross our fingers and close our eyes and hope, you know, dear Lord, baby Jesus, we'll make this work, right? But and so we move forward with these spending decisions and hope and pray for the best. And that's not the best thing to do. Or we'll get frozen and we do nothing.
Yeah.
Out of fear. And that can be just as devastating for your business as the other option. And so having a simple cash flow forecast, and again, just start looking 6 weeks into the future if you're just getting started. It doesn't need to be a year. You know, baby step into 6 weeks. But the amount of clarity that a cash flow forecast, even a 6 week one, can give you, and the amount of stress that it can, and I mean, we know as entrepreneurs, when we're stressed about money in our business, it bleeds over into our personal lives. It impacts our relationships, our marriages, or, you know, with our partners. It impacts our sleep. That impacts our exercise, our diet, right? It's in those things that in turn, you know, impact all of it again. And it's this domino effect. Yep. So this is a really powerful tool that I think a lot of people just overlook until they get way down the road into their business. But literally any entrepreneur can start one of these.
Yeah. And you mean get started with the cash flow forecast, like 6 months. Yeah. 6 weeks. So another big thing that I took out of what you just said is like, all right, look back at the last 13 months and look at trends, if you will. What was, you know, and for most entrepreneurs, it's up and down. It's generally not like a steady incline or a steady decline. It's up and down most months, but looking at the averages and stuff like that, and your recommendation of, which I love, and we certainly do this in our business, like, all right, we did this much in, you know, in revenue, top line revenue in this month, and then, you know, the profit margin was X, like what happened there? What was going on? We do it for every single month. And to your point, start to look for trends. What was working, what was not working, et cetera. So I want to go back into the hiring, but I first want to understand the difference between net profit margin and gross profit margin.
Awesome.
Like I legit do not know what the difference is. I'm going to say right now.
I'm going to tell you now and you're never going to forget.
I know, seriously.
Okay. So let's pretend, Rick, that you and I go into business together and we're going to sell markers. Mm-hmm. We want to get into the marker selling business.
Amazing. Okay.
Yeah, it's hot right now. It's up there with Bitcoin and everything else, right? It's the hottest thing you can do. So in order to sell this marker that we're going to sell, let's say that we're going to sell it for $3. okay? Before we can sell it, we actually have to either make or buy the marker from somewhere else. Right? We got to get a marker in order to sell it. And so if we're going to sell the marker for $3, let's call that revenue. Okay, so revenue would be $3. And the let's say that it costs us $1 to purchase it or make the marker. That's what we call cost of goods sold.
Yep.
Okay, so we've got $3 in revenue, $1 in cost of goods sold. We're left with a gross profit of $2. Okay, so gross profit is just revenue minus cost of goods sold.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Right? Okay.
So there's cost. So there's gross profit. We know there's other expenses that go along to running a marker selling business. We've got, you know, bookkeepers, and we've got ad spend, and we've got rent and payroll and all the things. Those are called overhead expenses. And when we subtract those overhead expenses from gross profit, we're left with net profit. Okay.
Okay.
Yep. Now here's how to remember it and never forget it. Okay. Remember, gross profit starts with a G, comes before net profit on the alphabet, starts with an N. So you'll always remember, you know, okay, revenue minus the gross profit's next. It's alphabetically next, and then net profit is last, which is the last thing you see on your P&L. So it's alphabetical order there, gross profit, then net profit.
Gotcha. Okay.
You're welcome. You'll never forget that.
I know. And I, seriously, no, I totally get that now, because I'm literally actually thinking of my P&L right now, like how I see it every month. And yeah, cost of goods sold is right at the top there. And like, okay, I gotcha. Now, for somebody who is listening right now, it's like, dude, what the heck is cost of goods sold? Like, what goes into that?
So let's talk about it, especially for those of us that have, you know, we're like coaches or course creators or consultants. We don't have a marker that we sell. And yep. So we will typically not have a cost of goods, but we might have what's called a cost of services. And so, for example, in my coaching program, I pay CFOs that are on my team to do work for my students. And that's part of what I sell, is you get a one-on-one CFO. And so the money that I pay my team to directly serve my clients and my students in that way, those are cost of services. Okay. Now, what I'm not talking about is my VA. I'm not talking about my ads manager. I'm talking about when my people on my team are directly providing a service right to my students. The money I pay them is a cost of service, and that is interchangeable with cost of goods. So it'll be revenue minus cost of goods or cost of services. It's a real easy concept, Rick, for people to kind of mess up. So again, this is a great place for you to say, hey, bookkeeper that has the heart of a teacher, is this expense a cost of services or is this overhead? And explain to them what you're doing with it. And they should be able to say, yep, let's put that up under cost of goods, or no, let's leave it as overhead.
Okay. I'm going to ask you the $1 million question, because I get this question all the time too.
Let's do it.
What is a quote unquote good profit margin?
That's actually a great question.
Gross profit, net profit.
Okay. Great question. And the typical $1 million answer is it depends.
Sure.
Okay. But here's a thumb rule. Here's a thumb rule to use. And this is a two-part answer. So if you are an entrepreneur that is a sole proprietor or an LLC, right? So you're not an S corp, Okay. So you're an LLC or a sole provider, or a sole proprietor, a good gross profit margin, you want to be somewhere probably north of like 60 to 70%. Many people listening to this, you might be at 100%. You may not be providing any cost of goods or cost of services. So you might be at 100%, okay, for gross profit. That's the first one. The second one, which is net profit, you want to be somewhere north of at least 40%.
Okay.
Why 40%? Well, remember earlier when I said that there's some expenses that don't show up on the P&L, and one of those is your pay as an entrepreneur, if you're going to pay yourself. The reason we want to have at least 40% for sole proprietors and LLCs is to make sure there's still enough meat on the bone for you to pay yourself.
Yeah.
Okay. That 40% net profit will become cash, and we've got to make sure there's enough cash being generated by your business to pay yourself. Okay. Now, that's LLCs and sole proprietors. What if you're an S corp? Typically, gross profit, somewhere around 60% again. Net profit, we want to see north of like 20% as a rule of thumb.
Even as an online like I'm an online course creator or an online coach?
Yeah. And I mean, again, the bigger you get, the smaller your margins get, right? There's this, sure. It's just a natural course of things. But I want to see at least 20% so that you've got enough left over for things like savings mm-hmm. and your retained earnings and those kind of things, rainy day kind of funds. But if you have, in my opinion, again, your mileage mm-hmm. may vary. If you're sitting on 50, 60% net profit, that means that you probably have a lot of things that you could invest in to grow your business. Okay. Mm, yep. And so, you know, let's take that like abundance mindset and say like, okay, I know how to make money here. What can I do? Is it time for me to go hire a new ads manager or start ads? Is it time for me to, you know, hire a CFO or a bookkeeper? Or maybe I should be doubling or tripling down on my ad spend every month. What can I do with this money that's going to make me more money? Okay.
Mm, yep. So are we taking into account, again, both scenarios? Because I'm an S corp. So like sole proprietor or an LLC, are we taking into account, are we including what we pay ourselves within our profit margin, if that makes sense?
Like, for sole proprietors and LLCs?
Yeah.
No. Owner's comp is not a factor in determining net profit or net profit margin.
Okay. Because generally, it's taken as a distribution. Is that correct?
Correct. And distributions don't impact profit.
Okay. Gotcha. Okay. Now, as an S corp, you're paying yourself a salary.
Correct. That... which is a profit and loss expense.
Okay. Okay. Gotcha. Okay, cool. I mean, that answers that question. I love that we have numbers there. So like concrete numbers, granted, as you mentioned, it always depends, right? But, you know, so many people are looking for like, how does this stack up? You know, like, is this okay, if you will? That's like a question I get all the time is like, is this okay? Now, the other piece of this that I think about a lot and comes up in a lot of conversations with students, et cetera, is the decision-making process.
Okay.
So before we even get to the ROI of the decision-making process, let's just say, you know, you mentioned like a VA before. Okay, I'm thinking about getting a VA. What goes into that decision, or what should go into that decision from a financial perspective? Like, is this going to be good? Is this going to be, you know, from a cash flow perspective, that sort of thing?
Yeah, that's always where I start, right there. My clients that make multiple eight figures a year or my coaching students that, you know, might do $150,000 for the year. I always start big decisions on cash flow. How does it impact cash flow? And what I like to tell people, a good goal is have at least 6 weeks worth of expenses in your business. So you do your cash flow forecast. You're able to say, okay, over the next 6 weeks, week 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, I add them all up. My expenses for those 6 weeks are $10,000. Okay. Mm-hmm. I don't ever want my business bank account to drop beneath $10,000 during that 6 week period. Mm-hmm. And then I say, all right, well, now I want to hire a VA. And let's pretend the VA is going to cost, what does a part-time VA go for these days? Let's say they cost $500 a week. Okay, yeah. Maybe that's higher, maybe that's low. But then you go back to your cash flow forecast, you plug in the $500 a week, and you say, all right, did that make my balance drop beneath $10,000 at any point over the next 6 weeks? And if it doesn't, then I'm like, okay, that feels like a safe investment. If it does, then I'm going to ask some more questions. You know, how far beneath does it drop? How uncertain am I about the money that's coming in? If it's really predictable revenue, less of a factor. If your revenue is like, I'm launching a new ad campaign, I have no idea what to expect. And I'm like, maybe we hold off, right? But that's kind of where I start, is like, let's see how it impacts our cash and make sure we feel safe there. And then the next thing I do is go into the profitability and say, all right, how does it impact us from a profitability standpoint? But I'll take a moment to kind of get off the numbers. There's, I think, a couple of other factors that people really need to be mindful of. And it's, what are they going to do? What's the return on time investment?
Yeah. Right? Talk about that, because that's where I was going to go next. Yeah.
Oh, perfect. Perfect.
Yeah.
It's what's the return on my time investment? Because likely a VA isn't going to go out and sell for you. That's right. Not typically what VAs are doing. So it can be hard to assign a financial return on investment.
Yeah.
Right. But it's okay. Well, the easy next step is, well, if I go get a VA, does that free up my time to go sell more? And if it does, okay, well, we can look at a financial return on investment there. But there's also those untangibles, Rick. There's those things like, it's just work I don't want to do, right? Yeah. And it frees up my mental bandwidth and my energy. Maybe I'm just going to watch, you know, ESPN or talk show TVs instead of it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there's that, those not, you know, kind of intangibles that go along with it. And so, you know, it's as much an art as it is a science on, especially on VAs, on determining, is this the right time? But for me, without a doubt, if the cash flow can't support it, then I'm not watching ESPN on the other end. That's my North Star. If the cash flows don't work, then it's an easy no for me.
I love that first. So it's like, all right, does it fit the cash flow? Does it make sense for the cash flow? Are we still safe with that amount of money in the bank, if you will? And then, all right, what kind of ROI is it bringing me from a both financial and a time perspective? And also an emotional perspective, like getting this off my plate, it's going to make me super happy, right?
100%.
Another question that we get all the time is how much, now you mentioned 6 weeks. I would think that that's minimum that you want saved, if you will, in the bank to be able to cover expenses for the business. Is there another figure, maybe it's sort of a longer term figure, larger number that you advise businesses have, like in savings, if you will, for the business to make sure that, you know what, COVID hits or something like that, and the business takes a downturn for a period of time. What's that number for you? Or is there a number for you?
Yeah. So I always start with 6 weeks. A lot of experts out there say you need 6 months or something, but let's be honest, for most of us, 6 months of expenses in our business might as well be $1 billion, right? That's such a far number from where we're at today. So yeah. I like to tell people, hey, if you're just starting out with this, let's start with 6 weeks worth of expenses, not revenues, but expenses in your business. Because what that tells us, Rick, is if we get $0 in the business, I can at least keep the doors open for 6 more weeks. So yeah. We want to keep that 6 weeks going. And if you're not there yet, then just start, you know, $50 or $100 a week extra and kind of put that into that business savings account until you get to 6 weeks. And then once you get to 6 weeks, where do you go from there? Well, I think 6 months is a great kind of target, but honestly, you know, 6 months is overkill for most people, and most people don't have the discipline to leave 6 months in there. So, you know, somewhere between 90 days and 6 months is great. And I base that off of the volatility of your business. If you've got really predictable revenues and you've been doing this for a while and you know how to sell, then maybe you don't need 6 months, right?
Yeah.
I don't normally recommend, for liability reasons, going much over 6 months. Right. I like to get that money out of the business or working for me to make more money. But somewhere between 6 weeks and 6 months, I think, is a great spot. But again, if you're not at 6 weeks today, there's no shame in that. Just know that that's a great place for you to start working from.
Sure. Sure. I want to start to wrap up here with this question that we've talked about recently and that has come up on Accelerator calls. And it's the whole, I'm spending on ads, spending on Facebook ads. I'm doing a launch. A lot of my customers are paying the payment plan, for example. That's another story. Like, is the pricing too high, et cetera? But Facebook wants their money. You know, Facebook's not giving you a 12-month payment plan, for example. So talk about that for a second. Because unfortunately, I think it's a topic that, and I haven't talked about it a whole lot, you know, to my fault, I think it's so important. Running Facebook ads, you know, let's just say that you reach your whatever the limit is before they bill you, $750, let's just say, all right, Facebook's going to take that money out, but you haven't had that money come in from a launch perspective yet. How do we balance that?
Well, all things go back to cash, Rick. And so cash flow forecasting for these things helps take all the stress and the uncertainty out of exactly what we're talking about. And so when you as a coach or a course creator, when you're thinking about what you want to do from a payment plan perspective, right? Do you want to offer a 3-pay or a 6-pay or a 12-pay? You know, map out your estimates on how many, like percentage-wise, of your buyers are going to do that, right? And probably for most of us, they're going to opt for the highest pay you've got, right? Because it's going to adversely impact their cash flows the least.
Sure.
Right. And so start mapping that out on your cash flows, and then just assume that your Facebook ads are real time. Right. And then look and see, all right, I'm going to have to be paying Facebook, you know, if it, let's say it's $500 a week, right? $2,000 a month ad spend. If I hit my lower end of projections for sales and there are 12 pays, is that going to leave me in a bind? And just kind of start to do some simple mapping out of that to see, because the last thing we want to do is get into a spot where we have a home run launch and we have no money in the bank, right? Because we're waiting for those 6 pays and 12 pays to slowly drip back. And so that's why it's really important to understand, you know, what's the value of the customer? Those things are really important. What's the lifetime value going to be? But also, what are they worth to me this month compared to my costs? Yeah. And the other thing I want people to remember is, you know, a lot of times we get really excited about like a 3x return on ad spend, right? Or a 4x return on ad spend. But don't forget, my friends, there are other cash expenses in your business. And so when you're trying to forecast out what you need your return on ad spend to be, don't forget all those other expenses. Make sure everything's kind of shaken out right on that net profit.
I love this topic because it took me so long to understand more of this in the business, unfortunately. But hey, we can only move forward, right? We can't do anything about in the past. So this has been so good. I've taken a bunch of notes here. I honestly, just as we're recording this, I can't wait to share this with people because this is information that people, I don't think is talked about enough, but yet, it's critical. And for everybody listening, like you guys hear me talk all about, you got to know your numbers. Well, this right here, what Michael's sharing with you is the baseline of the health of your business. To wrap up, Michael, is there anything that I didn't ask you that should absolutely be mentioned here besides where people can connect with you? We'll get to that in a second. Like, is there anything I didn't mention that we didn't talk about that is, you know, critical to this discussion?
I think there's one key thing that I'd probably want to leave everybody with, one thought, and it touched a little bit on what you just said. Like, man, I wish I had known this earlier. I see, this might be the number one mistake I see people make around financials. I see so many entrepreneurs at all stages of business, you know, just getting started up to multiple 8 figures. They get ashamed if they don't know these things. They get embarrassed. They get embarrassed by it. And I think more so, maybe more so than with anything else in business, not knowing your numbers or having numbers that you're not proud of leads to that imposter syndrome and some of those other kind of feelings of doubt. And I just really want to encourage anybody that finds themselves there, don't be ashamed by it, right? It's not something to be embarrassed about, but it's a great place for you to say, what an opportunity to grow. And so if you're listening to this and a lot of these concepts are foreign or it's like, you know, I'll never figure this stuff out, just lean into it. Like, this is not rocket science. This isn't nuclear engineering, right? Kind of thing. Like, this is addition and subtraction. You guys can absolutely figure this out, but you can't avoid it. So just make sure there's no shame or negative feelings and look at it as an awesome growth opportunity to spend. I mean, we're halfway through the year. What a great goal to say, like, I'm going to kind of figure this stuff out by the end of the year. So I'm rocking and rolling come January 1st.
Yeah. And just, if I can add one more thing to that right there, the numbers, it's just data. There's no, like, it doesn't mean you're a failure. It doesn't mean you're, you know, the greatest thing ever. It's whatever meaning that you give to it, that's where it's coming from because you're giving meaning to it. The data, like, it's just data. Like, it's neutral to just numbers to what Michael is saying.
100%.
Where can people learn more about what you've got going on in the business? You've got amazing programs. Where can people connect with you?
Yeah. So the number one place is on my Instagram, and I am blessed to have like the longest Instagram handle I think ever. So it's, and you'll have this in the show notes, I'm sure, but it's i.am.michael.king, right? All the other ones were taken. So it's I am Michael King, or you can check out my website, kfesolutions.com. And there will be probably by the time this airs a brand new YouTube channel under KFE Solutions as well, where we're going to talk about this kind of stuff every week.
KFE Solutions, right?
KFE, not KFC like the chicken, but Kilo, Foxtrot, Echo, KFE Solutions.
Gotcha. Awesome. Michael, this has been so good. Thank you so much for coming on here and sharing your wisdom. Well, guys, we'll link everything up that Michael just said in the show notes for today's episode. Michael, thanks again, man. Super appreciate you.
Thank you, Rick.
Hey, my friend, everything that you just learned here with Michael King is just one type of topic that we discuss and cover in the Accelerator Coaching Program. If you're an online course creator or you're an online coach, you're already averaging at least 7 to 8K per month in revenue from your online business, but you're now spinning your wheels. You're kind of feeling overwhelmed or doing all the stuff, very likely heading towards burnout if you're not already there. And you need some accountability. You need some coaching. You need some strategy. You need to surround yourself with other amazing course creators and coaches just like you for us to help you scale and optimize and grow your online business without working longer, because that's what this is all about. How do we increase the size of your business if that's what you want to do while working less, right? Because remember, we are building our business around our life, not the other way around. Okay. So if this is you, as you're listening to this, like, yeah, I need some help with this, then I want to invite you to check out and apply. It's application only for my Accelerator Coaching Program. This is a one-on-one group coaching and mastermind type of program all wrapped up into one. This is the type of program that I always wanted in the early years and actually in the later years too of my business. And so go to rickmulready.com/accelerator to fill out the application that's on that page right there. All right, my friend, super appreciate you for listening and tuning in each and every week here on the show. Until next time, my friend, be well, and I'll talk to you soon.